Show. Good morning.
Today going to be a coffee kind of politics day.
I just put a pot on, and I also put the coffee on.
Oh, okay.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the show. We are global. We're heard around the world. If you come into the studio, your voice will be heard, too. We also heard on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, Blog Talk. And if you're listening to the show, if you live in my neighborhood, you're hearing me from my unit of where I live.
Yep.
I had you know, Heidi lives well, I do. Heidi lives across the way in another unit.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just not associated with the unit I live in.
Uh-huh.
It's across the way. Mind you, there's a parking lot and then there's a unit. And her place is like way to the, it's obscure to the site. She says she hears the show. She just opens up her window. That's what she says.
Wow.
So I have to make sure I'm shut in before it. You know, I before Mike comes in, I'm a basketball fan. If you have not been looking at the playoffs, you are missing out. Oh, my God. It is fierce. It is, I don't know what happened to basketball. It's combative. People have lost teeth, broke nose, sold their face up. That's 7 stitches in their face. Well, here's the draw. I know you're not a basketball fan, but I got to bring it in because I'm worried about Kevin. And my favorite guy, we used to do a sports show. I love my favorite guy, Stephen A. Stephen A. is my guy. I wish I could talk like him. He's my idol, how he talks, just his rhythm of his voice and everything. He gets so compassionate. You're going to hear him in a minute. Let me just set it up. Bear with me. So Kevin Durant in the playoffs. Kevin Durant's played for the Warriors. So Kevin Durant in the playoffs, he has a calf injury. How do I explain it to you, Ellen? There's the playoffs and then there's a championship. They're in a championship now. So in the playoffs against Houston, he pulled a calf injury.
Wow.
Well, that's very serious. That's very serious. You know, some people, Shaq said, oh, that's an injury. I mean, who said that? It was not Shaq, but, oh, God. Anyway, they just say Shaq. He said that's the kind of injury that doesn't look good. That ended my career, and that was just a calf injury. So Kevin Durant, and he's a young guy. He's at the top of his game. Remember when we talked about 2 weeks ago that, I think it was yesterday, when I was talking to Stanley about we're here for a purpose? Well, anyway, he pulled up that injury.
That was probably the part that I missed. When my electricity was set off for about 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, we're here for a purpose. So he comes up lame during the playoffs. So they're going to nurse that injury. And here's what happens. He's up to free agency this year, meaning that either they're going to sign him or he can go to another team. So it's a serious injury. Well, what happened was they let him rest for about a month. He didn't play for a month. So what happened is that the Warriors got down 3-1. If they would have lost last night, they go home. They lose a championship. Durant is still hurt. All of a sudden, he plays. He plays.
Wow.
And he comes in. He comes in. You know, he's dancing a little bit, stretching, you know, like, hey, everybody. Hey, y'all, I'm fine. He comes in the first time he touches the ball. Three, bang, swoosh, bucket. They give him ball again, shoots another, 3 points. If you don't know what 3 points is you shoot away from the basket. They give him another one, shoots three. Another one, shoots three. Kevin's back. Crowd's going crazy. The crowd's really shocked. Well, what happened was, oh, my God. Hold on, let's see if I can play it. You're not going to believe those Canadians. Those Canadians are bastards. You bastards.
Hey, some of my friends are Canadians.
Bastards. Canadian bastards. Because they're playing here for the
stake. I have breaking news from Mr. Bright Mike Brummel. And he posted on Facebook. This just in, Trump predicts the Earth will stop rotating if he is impeached. Supporters are less dazed and confused as they believed it to be flat.
That could be true. Wait a minute. I gotta get the dramatic thing here. So anyway.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so all of a sudden, so everybody thought he was okay. And this is like, I guess maybe 15 minutes in the game. So then he gets the ball. We're talking about Durant. He gets the ball. He moves. He pits it. All of a sudden, he grabs his calf again.
Uh-huh.
He can't move. He hits the ground. And he waves for people to come help him. People think he tore his Achilles heel. That's an injury that you don't usually come back. See, we're talking about ending career injury here. The CEO of what? Here's what DeMarcus Cousins called the Raptors. Listen to what he said. They started clapping because he was hurt. And even the players of the Raptors, players saying, don't do that. They're trying to quiet them down. And Kevin's on the floor, and they're trying to get people to help him. And the Canadian fans were clapping because he was hurt. And the Canadian players, the Raptors players, were trying to quiet the crowd down, saying, that's not cool. Well, here's DeMarcus Cousins, who is a forward of the Warriors. This is what he had to say. Listen to what
DeMarcus
he had to say about that.
He's a little traitor.
Anyway, listen to what he has to say about what happened with the fans. When they started clapping because Kevin Durant was hurt, here's what he has to say.
Transpired over the past couple of days, and I'll be using it as motivation. Leave it at that.
The grit that this team shows to persevere on the road, get this win, despite everything that's
happened. What about it?
Can you touch on the grit
that the team has? Same from the heart. Simple as that. Fight is our DNA, and you don't go down first. Period.
Bob Myers was crying on the podium as he talked about KD. What does the organization, what kind of care does this organization show for its players?
Well, obviously they care. It's bigger than basketball here. I saw these lines with the human beings, just like everybody in this room. We go through things, we have life crises, we have emotions, we have up and downs. It's just when we get in between those times, we have to zone off all of that and become these superstar athletes. So with that being said, they know us outside of the lines. They know the everyday struggles. They know the adversity and the ups and downs we go through on a daily basis. So with that being said, he's feeling for the guy. It's not about basketball. It's about everything else. The shit that y'all don't care about.
What do you think about the people who questioned Katie's heart and how long it was taking him to return?
Some of the fans cheering when he went down.
Trash. So trash. But like I said, we only idolize is superstar athletes, not human beings. It's always about what we can do between those lines. That's it. That's all that ever matters. And then once we lash out and, do human-type things, then we can sit it back.
Rudy, can you talk about coming up here tonight, getting the Warriors to spark up the table right now and getting up some big-time minutes tonight?
I'm just trying to play my part. Do whatever it takes to help this team win. We laid it out there tonight. We pulled out a trophy. Fight back over. The series is still going.
And knowing that the series is still going, what is it going
to take for you guys to make up instead of seven? Got to fight. Everything is in it. Got to fight.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
With moderate to severe.
That is freaking tough. When you know your career is over. When you
wow.
know it's it is freaking tough, man. Let me see. I want to try to get the freaking you should be there. It is just.
Brian, do you realize why I called DeMarcus Cousins a traitor?
Yeah, I know, but you got to stop that, because if he played for, let me tell you something, and he's right. If he played for Louisiana Pelicans and they traded him, that's all it's about. That's their brand. That's their business. And they're going to go where he could get a better deal and he could survive for his family. You don't know him. You don't care about his family. You only care if they win, no matter what they do. You don't care. Bring the bodies out there. Take them out on a gurney. I don't care. Oh, you want to be traded? Oh, you black bastard. Oh,
like,
traitor.
You don't sit there and curse when one of your favorite players leaves. Uh-huh.
Hey, you know what? No, let me tell you something. But here it is right here. Listen to this. So anyway, Kevin, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to tell you something. I'll give you a big middle finger. That's what I'm going to give you.
Uh-huh.
That's right. You know what to do with that. So anyway, let me tell you something, and I don't want to tell you something. When my career is over, when your career is over, it's like the worst thing of your life. Everything dies.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you something. So anyway, like I was saying, so he comes back. Here's when the injuries happen. Listen to this.
To the way, Durant goes down holding his leg. He boxes, goes up, and it's fouled down the other end. And Durant grabbing that right leg. It's the right calf that put him out. His teammates going over to check on him. I don't like to hear the fans cheering.
I'm surprised by that, and the players are telling him not to be doing that.
No question, to cheer for a player who gets injured. And credit Serge Ibaka. There's the play right away. He knew it. You will not see a better sight than we just witnessed. Unfortunately, what happened to Kevin Durant, but Kyle Lowry, Pascal Siakam, Serge Ibaka telling the crowd, no, we are not going to cheer when this guy goes down.
There's another side to this, the injury, and I've just gotten off Twitter. I'll be honest. I was just on First and Last, and the city of Toronto is very angry with me. But there's another side to this injury that I think has to be brought up, and it's the reaction in the arena by Raptors fans. And if you didn't see the game last night, not just in the arena but also on the plaza, the replay will show you that the crowd is definitively cheering for Kevin Durant to go down as he's laying there and then being helped off the court, to the point that Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka and a couple other players are having to do the quarterback of the line of scrimmage thing. They're like trying to hush the crowd. You can watch the replay of the Jurassic Park area outside and see the cheer for the turnover, then a pause as they figure out that Kevin Durant is hurt, followed by an even larger cheer. This was beyond, and just, this is not for the city of Toronto. I can't say this clear enough. People can't seem to hear it. I'm not saying this about the city of Toronto or the Raptors fan base as a whole. Any individual that cheered that injury, if you look in the mirror and you cheers, you're disgusting. That's the only thing I can say. If your solution to cheer for your favorite team is to actually cheer someone else going down in what is, to me, an Achilles injury to a basketball player, is catastrophic. So if you're telling me that your solution is to cheer for a catastrophic injury, you are gross as a person, and you shouldn't be supporting anybody. I wouldn't want you as my fan. I'm fired up about that today.
You are, and I get it. Listen, it's horrible. It is horrible to cheer when someone goes down. They don't know he has a torn Achilles when he goes down. They think he, I'm sure, re-injured his calf. We know in Philadelphia way back when Michael Irvin hit his head off the turf and was laying there, that the Philly Eagle fans cheered. And we've seen it happen in other places before. It happens. It's not the first time, and it won't be the last time. It is a disgusting thing. I agree with you on that. And then people did stop, and they cheered him going off the court after it was done. It's the initial – remember, these guys are robots to people. They're not human beings. I mean, they're players that are trying to beat their team, and you see one go down, your immediate reaction is, yeah, they're one of their best guys is down, and you cheer, and then I think after a while you realize, man, I look like a real schmuck doing that.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I guess that's me. like, I'm not willing to excuse away that first reaction on the basis of fandom. Like, I'm not excusing it. I'm just trying to say I think that's what happens.
Oh, no,
that's what
happens.
I agree with you. When somebody goes down, there should no way, shape, or form be any cheering.
Like,
I've been a fan for a far longer portion of my life than I've been a player. I mean, there was never, I remember, one injury, no matter how hard I rooted against, let's say it was Notre Dame playing Southern Cal. I don't think I've ever cheered for a player on Southern Cal who got injured. Like, that's your own. Like Jason said, you got to look in the mirror. And you had people, like,
right.
When you point out, because we can all agree, the people that reacted that way are jerks. Like,
yeah,
that's
right.
A jerk reaction.
Yes, it is.
To point out that jerks are being jerks and then watch as the world rose up to try and justify that jerk behavior says a lot more about you trying to justify it than me just plainly pointing out, like, that was a jerk move. I'm not trying to indict the city of Toronto. I'm not trying to indict every Raptors fan.
No,
because all fan bases got groups of people like that. But if you're going to sit up there and decide that your time to cape is now for those people, I mean, go ahead, man. Do what makes you happy, but that's a weird hill to die.
That's an idiot move.
Well,
I completely agree with that.
And to your point, Mike, about jerks will be jerks, like, I've been a Raiders fan my whole life. Raiders fans have a reputation. I have not met – I've met more Raiders fans that are not along the reputation that they have than that are. But you just accept at some point that the bad apples amongst Raiders fans have created a reputation for everybody. You accept that. I don't blow back on that because that was earned. Whatever sort of response to Toronto that comes today was earned by the actions of the people in the arena and at Jurassic Park that chose to change.
And I'm with you. You don't condemn the whole city, and I know you're not condemning
right,
the whole
not.
City by any stretch. But listen, you know who you were. I mean, you know exactly who you were if you cheered when he went down. It's a jerk move. It just is.
It is. And you bringing up Oakland and Cliff, our board op, who's a noted Philly fan, brought this up before the show. If this had happened in Oakland with the Raiders or in Philadelphia with any team, this would have fueled that fan perception and hate for the next 10,000 years.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, it would have literally had the half-life of uranium, the amount of hate we would have spewed for all of the parties involved had this event happened there. So I'm looking forward to Twitter somehow blaming Philadelphia fans for what happened in Toronto.
There you go. Okay, now, I'm just going to play a little bit. I know we're supposed to do this, but this is my idol, Stephen Smith. Just the way he talks cracks me up. He gets fired up. Just give me a minute. Here we go. And he's going to talk about it. Here we go.
Klay Thompson and Steph Curry stepped up, combining for three threes to go on a 9-0 run to overcome a 103-97 deficit with 3:28 left. But I think the most compelling component is that the Toronto Raptors, who seem to be able to amp it up whenever they want to, went the last 3:28 with just 2 points. 3:28 left. You go up 103-97 after a pull-up J from Kawhi Leonard. What happens? 23 seconds later, Nick Nurse, who we've been raving about throughout the postseason, suddenly has brain lock or what? I don't know what the hell it was. I don't know why he called the timeout. The team timeout by Toronto. You don't need to call a timeout at that particular moment in time. You see that your offense is flowing. You're taking advantage of Golden State. They seem gassed. They seem worn down. It seemed like Toronto was a bit too physical for them, and they were about to basically have a coronation inside the Scotiabank Arena. And then all of a sudden, you call a timeout. You give Golden State a reason to rest, to catch their breath, to get a reprieve from your onslaught, and lo and behold, Klay Thompson hits a three. Then Steph Curry hits a three. Then Klay Thompson comes back and hits a three. And before you had a chance to sit up there and express a word, you were down 3 points. To me, that was a key pivotal point, particularly when you consider the fact that Nick Nurse, once again, obviously a fantastic coach who's done a fantastic job throughout this postseason, inexplicably calls a timeout and disrupts his own team's rhythm. I think that was the key to this game because they only scored 2 points thereafter, and it was on a goaltending play with a layup from Kyle Lowry on with the goaltending against DeMarcus Cousins. You can't make that mistake in game five of an NBA Finals closeout game. Nick Nurse made that mistake, and I think it cost them dearly.
We agree. I asked Doris Burke that very question, and she said he has had, Nurse has had a good feel for the pulse of his team, but I'm with you. It felt like a standing eight for a boxer that was on the ropes that could have been perhaps knocked out, but that doesn't happen. They do get a chance, Stephen A., to go back home, but your sense of Golden State's ability to deal with this loss of Durant, do you believe they have enough to force a seventh game in that building?
I personally don't. I hope I'm wrong. I thought they would win tonight's game, but I got to admit to you, I spent the last 2.5 quarters absolutely positively depressed. Kevin Durant came out, hit all three of his threes, hit three of his five shots, was sitting there and looked like he hadn't lost a beat, lost a step at all. I thought he was on pace to drop 40. That's
to do tonight had he stayed on the court. And to see him go out that way, it was just so devastatingly deflating that it's hard to put into words. If you love the game of basketball, you want to see greatness, and somebody I consider to be the greatest of the game, it was knocked out of it. But give credit to Wiz due to a champion showing a champion's heart. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, those boys stepped up. Boogie Cousins showed up tonight to make amends for his no-shows in Oakland. And Draymond Green was absolutely brilliant as well. So you take all of those things into consideration, along with the huge assist on a part of Nick Nurse, and that's why we've got a game six. I'm going to take this one game at a time and tell you that the Warriors going back to the Oracle, I can't imagine them losing three games at the Oracle in the same series. So I'll go with the Warriors going into game six. But the bottom line is Toronto is physical. They're deeper. They look to have Golden State gas, and Nick Nurse let them off the hook.
There you go, Steven. I love that guy. I just love that guy. God, I should bring back the sports show. I love that guy. Really quickly, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. We had this argument. I know Stanley's listening. What's up, my brother? We had this argument. Stanley and Wreck-It Ralph, Wreck-It Joe.
What?
What we call Joe now? What we call Joe?
Bazooka Joe.
Bazooka Joe. All right. They're out there talking about women and it will make the same pay as men, and it doesn't happen anymore. Everybody gets paid the same. Well, there's a big thing going on with equality pay, and here's a headline really quickly. Moms equal pay day. Shocking statistics explain why working moms are so stressed. And it says here, what if you lost $18,000 a year? Sure would help with income. For Moms Equal Pay Day on June 10th, the National Women's Law Center draws attention to the wage gap between mothers and fathers and the lost wages of disparity. The day is marked June 10th because that is how far into the year that the average working mom has to work to earn what dad earns. Women are paid 80 cents for every dollar paid to their male counterpart, but the hardships facing working moms are even starker. When mothers earning 69 cents compared to the fathers. In March, House Democrats passed the Paycheck Fairness Act designed to provide equal pay for equal work, but the path to the Senate is unclear and very slim. You know, we don't hear no election people. The government moves slowly, she says. This puts a little bit – okay, well, let me put it into perspective here. Consider for every dollar paid to white fathers. Let's break it down. Latina – and Stephen A. gets me worked up. Latina work moms, they only get paid 46 cents a dollar. 46 cents off a dollar. Native working moms, for you morons who don't know who they are, Indians. American Indians, woo, 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 and they lost the battle. 48
wow.
cents a dollar.
Wow, they get
working.
Paid 2 cents more than Latinos.
They get paid more than the Latinas. Yeah. Black working
wow.
moms, they only get paid 54 cents off the dollar. And here we go. White working moms get paid 72 cents off the dollar. And here's what's going to piss you off. The hidden, you know, what happened to the Asians? They're running around. They're under the radar. Nobody knows what's going on with them. They're not in any kind of protest. You never see them protesting.
You know,
they're
you
very
know why
quiet.
You don't hear about the Asians? Because they own their own businesses.
Well, check this out. Asian mothers get paid 92 cents off the dollar.
Wow. Yeah, see, that's because they own their own businesses. They don't work for anybody else.
And they say here, this is in the working workforce. Single moms also shortchanged. No profession is safe from the wage gap. Mothers in female-dominated professions, as you were saying, Ellen, and non-traditional careers working full-time year-round are paid less than the fathers. Here's case in point. Janitors, building cleaners, maids, and housekeepers are and cashiers and retail salespeople, they get paid less than $1.50 per hour. Wage like this plunge families are below the poverty line. A single mother or father with two children needs to make $20,000 per year to lift their family above poverty. And then they're claiming that the mothers are robbed of retirement. And you don't hear that too much about a woman retiring. You don't hear that. Moms and women in general are robbed of money over a lifetime that could fund their retirement. Over a 40-year career, women lose hundreds of thousands of dollars that could be funding their retirement. Exactly how much is staggering. Here's a look at how much women typically loses over four decades. Women versus men. Women lose $406,000. Asian women versus white non-Hispanic men, $360,000. 7 years, a white non-Hispanic versus white non-Hispanic men, $555,000. This is what they're losing. Over 25 years, I can go on and on and on. But that builds the case of women are not getting paid what they should be getting paid. Now, I don't believe in Colonel Sanders. 1% of the free health care, and everybody should get everything. Shut up! I don't believe Sanders' stupid thing. Now, but Kamala Harris has a nice thing. Now, she proposed a bill that I'm not too happy about. She proposes a bill with equal pay for women, and her bill says if you go into the workplace and a woman does not have equal pay of a man, she proposes a bill that they should fine that business. It's a violation, and that business should be fined. How's that?
Yeah.
Vermont
like
is better than most.
If the woman is doing the same amount of work as the man, then she should get paid the same amount.
Well, women, the fact of the matter is women don't work the same as a man. Women don't do it. Men work overtime. Women don't. Men work through stuff.
Women
take maternity leave.
They
don't. Women do not perform the same duties as a man. They do not. They don't have the incentive.
I used to work overtime all the time.
You're an exception to a rule, Ellen. In general, you do not see a woman volunteering to work overtime and to work days off to come into work on a day. Well, I got it. Cindy does. I know that.
Especially if they're the single breadwinner in that family, they will work overtime to provide for their family.
I say get rid of maternity leave. Why? I think they should put maternity leave as a vacation.
You can't get rid of maternity leave because a woman
you
needs time
get rid
to
of it.
Heal after having a baby.
What about the business? I think maternity leave is a vacation. You use it as your vacation. You want to heal on your time off. Why does
really?
The company have to pay you women because
that,
you popped out a baby?
That's why men don't have babies.
You know, no, don't say that. We do have. We're the one who make you have babies. The last time that happened, Mary had Jesus. But just because you got knocked out and you want to, knocked up and you want to take 6 months off because you have that little baby?
A lot of women don't take 6 months off.
They take, I've seen women take 3 years. Shame on you.
Yeah. And they quit their jobs. They don't hold their jobs for them.
That's right. They quit. This is why they should not get paid. You don't see a man taking 3 months off because he has a baby.
Bullshit.
No.
There,
you women take advantage. Let me tell you something. And then with the child care. Who the hell are you bringing that little bastard in my office? And you expect me to pay for the child care? I had nothing to do with this. You should have closed your legs. Use a condom. My company is not going to pay for a babysitter for you. You don't see a man coming into my office and say, Mr. Jackson? Yes, Johnson. I would like to put in a requisition of child care. I go, what? Yeah, I'd like to bring my little bastard into the office and have you pay for child care. You know what I would do? I said, Johnson, come here. Bend over. I kick him in the ass. Get out of here.
got news for you.
And
the way
wait,
that
and Ellen, and let me tell you about pussy men. And you pussy men.
Is they think we're out of somebody's check.
No, let me tell you something, Ellen.
Yeah.
And these pussy men, what they're doing now is they're taking advantage of it, and they're taking maternity leave. They're taking maternity leave off. What the hell is that? I want to be with my wife because we got a newborn kid. Are you kidding me? Get out of my office. You know, let me tell you something. I told you this once, and I told you this twice. If you went, I'll tell you what destroyed the workforce. I'm going to tell you what destroyed the workforce. Women. As soon as we allowed you to start wearing pants, that's where hell opened up. And then we allowed you to smoke. You should have went in the back door like everybody else. No. But you want to smoke, you want to wear pants, and then you want to come into the office like, I'm equal. You're not equal. I don't see any man wearing Tampaxes. Now I have to put a tampon distributor thing in the bathroom. Really? Cost me money. Bleed on your own time. Done.
My God. Seriously?
You women. I'm serious. Ellen, nobody takes maternity leave and take 3 months off and my business goes to hell. And then you're expecting me to hold your job. So now I got some temporary moron that probably has no tits at all working in my receptionist thing because you're too busy having babies. Get out.
Oh, my God.
Here it is. Vermont is better than most mothers. Vermont pays 80 cents on every dollar. Louisiana and Utah show the same largest gap. Mothers earn 59 cents and 61 cents, respectively, for every dollar paid to the fathers, according to this study.
I can attest to that. They had a convention here. Louisiana is the worst state for women to work.
I say women get out of the workforce.
Great for women.
You know, ever since, you know, working used to be fun. Then we let women in. That's where the problems are. Don't look at me because I'm going to give a lawsuit. Oh, did you suck your hair ass me? No, I have to go to the bathroom. This is my pee-pee face. You look weird, and now I'm uncomfortable. I'm suing you. HR, come on. Get out of here. Oh, don't look at me because I have no bra on and my nipples is on my shoulder. But you can't look at that. Because of sexual harassment. Get out of town.
I'm sorry. If a woman had nipples on her shoulders, I'd be looking because she's got a problem.
I guess you're right, Ellen. All right, everybody, it's Politics Day. And as we... And, you know, when Mike Bromo comes in, he loves politics. He comes in for the tits. He's a titty guy.
Happy Tits Tuesday, everybody.
Happy Politics Tuesday, and that's our show. Welcome to the show. Before we get into Mike Bromo, Laverne, good morning, sweetheart. What a beautiful lady that is, and she loves me so much. Good morning, lovely Laverne.
Good morning, but I don't believe a word you were saying about the woman.
She don't love you down, does she?
Yeah, I don't believe a word. I don't think he believed a word that he was saying about
no,
the woman
doesn't.
In the workplace.
She don't love you now, does she, Brian?
She doesn't love me that much. No, not that much.
No, I'm gonna tell you like Paul tells Aaron all the time. I don't love you that much.
Exactly. Well, Laverne got me. It is a shame that women do not. You're right, Laverne. But there are some men who think like that, though, Laverne. There are some women think, and you can't really.
Yeah.
You can't
it's
really.
All the Congress
you can't.
Senators that still think like that are.
Yeah, they're called Republicans.
Centuries.
Right. But you can't really. The fact of it is that women have made, on a serious note, women have made the business a workplace hostile. Because men are tiptoeing, there's a group of women, not all women, women are great, but there's a group of people who have made it very uncomfortable for men to work, especially if you're attractive. I know friends and I have read stories that if you're a very attractive woman, they will not hire you because they figure you're going to be a distraction to the workforce or it can create problems later. And I think, and I said this before, that hashtag MeToo movement, even though it meant to be a nice support group, has really damaged women and put women back 50 years. It really does. It makes them very hostile. And I do think equal pay, I don't agree that men should take a leave for maternity leave. I do not. I think that's bullshit. I understand women take, I think about a month. You know, in Europe, I think they take a month vacation. We're the only one to have the two-week vacation. I think in Europe they take a month or 2 months off as a vacation. But men taking maternity leave, come on. Women, I could see 3 weeks. But women have changed the workforce and made it very hostile. I do believe that, Laverne. I really do.
But I wonder why, though, Brian. I wonder why.
I'm not being sarcastic.
I wonder why they that the men feel like it's a hostile work environment now.
Well, they're targets because most of the sexual harassments are coming from the co-workers, and it costs the company a lot of money. And there's really no line of what is sexual harassment. Basically, in a nutshell, sexual harassment now is when a woman feels uncomfortable. That word uncomfortable became a very, very dangerous word. If a woman is, if a woman feels uncomfortable, she'll go to HR. And Human Resources, they'll call in the man, and he is guilty before proven innocent, and there's no way in hell they're going to give him a fair shake because it's too much damage.
You said too much damage, but yeah, but see, a woman has been enduring this for many, 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 many years. It's just when everybody just starts speaking out about it, everybody panics is getting in a bunch. You know, so sometimes enough is enough.
I understand the rules have changed, and but do we penalize people for the past sins? I mean, you're right, how we treated women in the workforce in the early years, in the 50s and the 60s, or even till the 90s. But the past sins cannot be paid forward because they have. The worst thing that the judges and the judicial system did was bend over backwards for women that tipped the scale in their favor. But it got to a point where men cannot be men anymore. I'm not talking about being an abusive asshole. I'm not talking about being a harasser. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about men are scared. Men are afraid to lose their job because, and if a woman makes an accusation, that's very seriously. We can go through so many men. We're not going to go to it today who have lost their job just because of a woman felt something or something like that, and it was unjust. And even if the man tries to fight it, they're going to say no. This is a paycheck for them. It's a lottery ticket. Some women, not all. There's that percentage of women are just going in there for that paycheck. As in every. After every man who wants to slip and fall and claim injury, you know what I mean? You know, looking for a paycheck. But they have put that present in the workforce that made it very hostile, that women basically can terrorize a man at work by just claiming something. He told a bad joke. He told a bad joke in the room, at the break room. He said something, we can go from a little bit as a joke that I was offended to a point where he looked at me and he could be looking at the water cooler, but I felt uncomfortable. These are things that can make a man lose his job and his family will suffer because women have put a hostile environment in a workplace. I mean, that's a fact. And I'm saying not all women, I'm sorry, some women. And that's true. It's sad because we did tip the scale the other way because we're paying for our past sins and we're paying it forward. And so that means the men are suffering now. So I don't know if that justifies it, but I'm just trying to say I'm a man and I got to protect my family and make my family eat. And if there's some woman that says, you know, Brian did this and I can lose my job and lose my home, I don't think that's fair because I'm paying for a past sin. But that's how it is, and that's why it's a hostile work environment.
Yep.
Well, we're going to go with politics.
You actually
and
have
Mike
that. You actually have hostile work environment exactly flipped because it's the woman who has to demonstrate legally a hostile work environment. And I just pulled up some statistics, and this is just a few years ago. It's going to be about the same. There were a little over 11,000 claims filed by women with the EEOC claiming a hostile work environment from across the country. And that is the first formal stage of that complaint, those kind of complaints, workplace harassment, mm-hmm. sexual harassment, et cetera, in the workplace. And of that number, a little over 1,000 were settled between the employees, between the female worker and the male worker, usually female-male. Usually it's a female complaining. And 26% of those cases went through the whole EEOC process, and a finding was made that the workplace, that there was a hostile environment created in the workplace because of employee and management. It's a combination of employee and management. It's not just one isolated incident. An employee cannot bring a claim for any kind of harassment in the workplace, sue for that based on one instance. The law doesn't allow it. There has to be an established hostile work environment, which requires a person on the job allegedly harassing an employee, that employee letting his or her supervisor know that the harassment occurred. And if it occurs a second time and the employer hasn't done anything to curtail the complained of conduct, that's when the whole ball starts rolling, if you will. The snowball starts going down the side of the mountain. It's not as cavalier of a process as has been discussed so far this morning. It's a pretty complicated and challenging process for someone to bring a complaint for sexual harassment, racial harassment, whatever, in the workplace. It's not that easy of a thing to do. There's not a lot of people in a given year that are losing jobs over workplace harassment claims. There just aren't many. It's not this widespread, rampant problem anywhere in the United States. It just isn't. And when people are losing their jobs, it's usually in situations where the employee has engaged in harassing conduct multiple times, or none of this would have been triggered in the first place. It requires, from a legal standpoint, in federal and state law, in the different states across the country, it requires more than just a single solitary complaint. It's a very complicated process.
It is. We should talk about this. We should put this as a subject because it does happen in workplace and some people. But let's get right while you're here. Everybody, Mike Bromell is here, or Mike Bromell is here. Mike is a friend. He has worked in the White House. He has worked as a writer in the Bush administration and in some other administration.
Reagan.
I'm sorry. Reagan.
There's a difference.
I'm so sorry, Mike. Yeah, there is a difference.
That's okay. Yeah, a little different.
Sorry about that. But let's get right to it, Mike. Let's get right to it. Here we go.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you something, Mike, and you make sense of this
sure.
for me. Here we go.
Sure.
This is off the press. This was today. Okay. Here we go. Kushner Real Estate Firm received $90 million from anonymous foreign report. Investment reportedly funneled through the Cayman Islands. Some from Saudi Arabia raised possible conflicts of interest for the Trump son-in-law. Just a little thing. Here we go. A high-rolling real estate firm co-founded by Jared Kushner received some $90 million in anonymous foreign investment. Some of it is from Saudi Arabia. And since Kushner started working at the White House, Kushner... let's see, blah, blah, blah. He resigned from the board, blah, 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 blah. All right, I'm going with you right now. What is wrong with that? I understand ethics. I understand ethics, okay? Now, ethics to me is not a thing because depending – you know, Mike. You know as well as I do. When they have the ethic board in the White House, that means nothing. It's like an accessory. It's something to keep the natives quiet. Oh, we have the ethic boards. Nobody cares. What is wrong with that, Mike? What's wrong with Kushner making a little change while he's working in the White House?
Well, there's, again, I have not seen this story. I have not heard this particular one. But based on what I understand you saying is that he, a company that he has an interest in, received $90 million from a foreign investor that's not been disclosed. Is that what you're saying? Here's the problem with that. Kirshner.
Okay.
Well, there's two problems, really. First of all, Kirshner, the transaction you just explained, which, again, I admit I have not heard about this specific one, underscores why Jared Kirshner did not get a security clearance going through the normal security clearance process. Because when you're a high-ranking official in the White House, and he's a high-ranking official, he's about as high as you can get in the White House, and particularly he is involved in foreign affairs-related things for the president. When you're in that position, when you're in such a position, you can't have, by operation, by definition, however you want to couch it, you cannot have undisclosed financial interests involving foreign countries, because you don't know who's influencing you. I don't want to make it this simplistic, but it's common sense. So initially, they wouldn't give Jared Kirshner a security clearance in part because of business deals like this that were already floating around out there in his life, through his father, through his business, through this or that. Kirshner has pretty complicated business entanglements, not complicated as Donald Trump's, but these are pretty complicated. And so he probably shouldn't have. I mean, if all things were perfect, and they're not, but in a perfect world, he probably should not be doing business or be involved or connected with or benefiting from a business that's benefiting from foreign governments, companies.
Why not?
It's a conflict of interest.
I understand.
By definition.
I think there's the what is it called? It's a demorality clause. What clause am I looking for, Mike? The something clause.
Now maybe you're talking about the emoluments clause in the Constitution. That pertains only to the president. That doesn't pertain to the staff.
Okay.
So it's a different deal, and I know what you're trying to say. But again, what you're saying this morning, the news is that Kirshner, through a company he has an interest in, was involved in a $90 million deal with a foreign company or companies. That name of that company or companies or countries, it could be countries, has not been disclosed.
Right.
You know, that's a problem. Yeah, and particularly he has subsequently been granted a security clearance. They went around the normal process to give him a security clearance. But it's that kind of stuff. It's happening more in this administration than it's happened in prior administrations. I don't recall a situation in a prior administration where someone on the level of Jared Kirshner made 90 or benefited from some sort of $90 million secret, for lack of a better term, but fair term, business deal with a foreign company or foreign government. I don't recall that ever happening before this presidency.
I understand. But also, we never had the 24-hour news cycle as we do now, and we do not have the news media as we do now that we're going to be scrutinized.
We've had it since George W. Bush. We've had it since George H.W. Bush. It started, and CNN started in 1981, so it's been around for a while.
Even though we didn't have the 24-hour news cycle, if something like this would have happened, we have a press corps that stays at the White House. Don't you think that if something like this was going on, they would have picked up on it?
Right. This is new. I mean, if you can point me to another presidency where a top aide has secret benefited from an unknown or was involved in a business, I'm trying to word this correctly without having seen the story this morning, had benefited from a business deal, a $90 million business deal with a foreign entity. If you can point me to another situation where that happened and there wasn't huge ramifications, I'd be glad to know of it because I can't think of one. And like Ellen said, the White House press corps actually has been inside the White House since Richard Nixon was president. He's the one that brought him in, of all people. He covered up the White House swimming pool and turned it into the press office. I think he probably regretted that several years later, but he did. And even though we didn't have 24-hour news, didn't have the internet, that doesn't mean there wasn't intense scrutiny of, the press from Kennedy, Johnson, those presidents, they kind of overlooked the personal affairs, the fooling around, if you will, of the presidents.
Right.
But they haven't overlooked financial misconduct. The press has never overlooked in recent times.
Okay, that's fair. We're going to move on a little bit. Here's a story about here's a story about Donald Trump. Donald Trump says, hey, America, I am your favorite president. Hey, America, I'm making a deal with Mexico. They're going to go to my terms. If they don't come to my terms, here's what's going to happen to you, Mexico. I'm going to add a 5% tariff. I'm going to add a 10% tariff and so on and so forth until you make me happy and you come to the table. Then Donald Trump says, I am so happy. I didn't pull up the tweets. I should read the tweets, but I'm just going to be, for time's sake, basically paraphrase it. I'm so happy that Mexico came to the terms and the deals and we got a secret deal going on. I am the greatest president ever. Mexico has come to our terms and they're working with us. Okay, you guys heard the soundbite. Here's the news. And Mike will comment on this. Here we go.
Yeah,
here's the news.
On Mexico, the two countries reaching an agreement on dealing with migrants at the southern border. ABC's White House correspondent Tara Palmieri is on the North Lawn with the very latest. Tara, good morning.
Good morning. It's been a tense couple of days over here. Negotiators have been scrambling since President Trump threatened to slap tariffs on Mexican goods. They were worried it could cause an economic crisis, not just affecting U.S. businesses, but also consumers on everything from the price of cucumbers to car parts. Overnight, the president backing down on his threat to slap tariffs on Mexican goods after Mexico agreed to new measures to stop the flow of migrants through the U.S. southern border.
They're letting millions of people walk up through their country.
After touching down in Washington, Trump tweeting that the 5% tax on Mexican goods set to take effect on Monday are, quote, hereby indefinitely suspended. Mexico and U.S. officials emerging with a deal late Friday night after 3 days of frantic negotiations. Mexico agreeing to a show of force, sending 6,000 troops to its southern border with Guatemala.
Mexico will take unprecedented steps to increase enforcement to curb irregular migration.
The Mexican government also vowing to crack down on human trafficking and smuggling networks.
Those crossing the U.S. southern border to seek asylum will be rapidly returned to Mexico, where they may await the adjudication of their asylum claim.
The 11th-hour deal comes to the president face opposition from his own party.
Well, there is not much support in my conference for tariffs, that's for sure.
Trump threatened to increase the tariffs every month by 5% until they reached 25%, or until Mexico took steps to curb the flow of migrants. Both Democrats and Republicans feared U.S. consumers would bear the brunt of the cost.
And Tara Palmieri is back with us from the White House. And Tara, we've seen President Trump touting this deal on Twitter, but he didn't get everything he wanted.
That's right, Whit. President Trump originally demanded that all asylum seekers from Central America apply for asylum in Mexico and not the U.S., but Mexico managed to skirt that part of the deal. President Trump also promised on Twitter that Mexico would buy more U.S. agricultural products, but that language never made it in the deal either. Whit?
All right, Tara Palmieri at the White House. Thank you.
Whit and Tara, thank you both. A lot to talk about here, so let's bring it.
Bottom line. So here's the problem. I'm going to go to Mike. Trump lied. Trump was bragging about Mexico doing this and Mexico working this secret deal. It's a secret deal. And so all of a sudden Trump got caught. And Mexico tweeted, no, there's no secret deal. There's none of this. Trump's bragging that it's a secret deal and they're working with us and they're going to stop this caravan. Mexico's saying, what the hell is he talking about? Trump got caught in the lie. I go to you, Mike. How dangerous is this for our country? And was there? This is just a matter of making a business deal. I mean, he bluffed a little bit, and that's how businessmen do. Get that to his advantage. How dangerous is that to our country, Mike?
Well, it's a lot of things. Like the two parts that he talked that were talked about in the clip that you just played, the 6,000 people at the Guatemalan border and making some changes regarding people staying in Mexico as their asylum claims are being processed. Those were agreed to by the United States and Mexico 6 months ago. That was nothing new. That did not come out of the tariff stuff. And so, or the tariff threats. And when that became apparent, Donald Trump, and he tweeted it this morning, that, well, there's parts of this deal that are secret, that haven't, the word secret's getting thrown around a lot today, but haven't been revealed yet. I think that's the word that Donald Trump actually used. We haven't revealed the whole agreement. But yesterday, the Mexican foreign minister came out and said, there is nothing else. We haven't agreed to anything else. The president is lying again. And in fact, I think this is very dangerous. He did the same thing with North Korea. The first time he went to North Korea for one of his so-called summits, he you know, was back in the United States a day or two and talked about, you know, this secret or whatever agreement that hasn't been revealed yet. And he went so far to say that North Korea is no longer a nuclear threat. And again, it was all a lie. There was no hidden agreement, nothing. And that destabilizes foreign affairs. It seriously, negatively impacts the reliability of the United States. It's very dangerous. And you know, I'll even take it a step further. If the president really believes there is some sort of secret or unrevealed deal, if he really believes that's the case when there isn't one, that's scary.
Well, they say, Mike, and this is my opinion, they say it's like the Munchausen syndrome. And Donald Trump will create a disaster. He'll create imaginary devastation. And then he'll come to the table and say, okay, I stopped it, when there was no disaster at all. He created it.
No.
But then he'll come to the table and go, okay, we're not going to do it and everything, and everybody's happy. And it's a lie.
Yeah.
And he does this all the time. He did it with the casinos. He did it like you were just mentioning, and he did it with Russia. He did it with not Russia too much. He backs off of Russia. But he has done it with Puerto Rico, blah, blah, blah. This is what he does. And he does these bluffs. Now,
it's like the and there are, you know, firefighters. There's a few cases floating around where firefighters were running around starting fires, so that their fire department or whatever they're called, their unit would be called out to combat the fire, and they'd be heroes. And there've been a few cases like that in the past 10 years. But Trump is like the arsonist who is starting a fire, and then running out to put it out. So I mean, it's bizarre. It's bizarre. It's like you ask, I think it's dangerous. I think it's indicative, you know, and again, I'll take it a step further. I think it's indicative of someone who's not mentally well. I don't think a mentally healthy person does that because they don't need to. Go ahead.
What's even more bizarre, Mike, and you're absolutely correct, but what's more bizarre is that everything he has to understand that when he makes statements like that, it could be fact check. It's like he doesn't understand that people, pundits and news people and everybody are fact checking this, and there's people who can make a call to the ambassador or Mexico, whatever. There's senators and their congressmen who pick up that phone going, is there a deal? It's like, how can you do this and think you can get away with it when there's so many checks and balances that are around you? You can't even move unless Secret Service is around you, and you're trying to see. You got to remember. I'm going to go. We're going to go really quickly. We go back to 10 years ago, or 8 years ago, even 4 years ago, when people did not believe in our government. They had 11% approval rating, even when Obama was in office. People did not believe our government. They put Trump in there. They said, okay, this guy's a deal maker. He's going to be transparent. He's going to tell us the truth. This guy lies. He lies in our faces. I mean, it's the worst.
All the time.
It is the
yeah.
Is well, let's go right here. Here we go on the same thing because we've got other things we want to talk about with you, Mike. It says here.
And we're only,
Trump
we're only
says
today we're talking until about 10, right? And then you have an author coming in, right?
Right, in about another 15 minutes.
Got it. Perfect. Got it.
Okay.
I want to hear her.
Which is usually.
I want to hear her. Yeah, I want to hear her because I think it's scary. I heard what happened. Anyway, go ahead. The ghost stuff.
Mike, you haven't heard the half of it. And what
well,
I'm about
I'll
to say, remember, the author is Susan. It's Susan
yes.
Lynn. Oh my God,
Solomon.
Solomon. Mike, what I'm about to say in the next interview, it's all true.
Yeah, and
I'll it's
going
to freak you out.
I'll
things
you
are happening. All right.
Yeah.
Well, here we
That's
go, Mike.
That's why
I
want to get off the air beforehand because I don't want to get haunted.
You know, I had that. You're not too wrong, Mike. Because
I don't mind.
I was talking to Laverne
and called names. I just don't want ghosts chasing me.
I know. I was talking to Laverne off thing. I love Laverne, and she goes. Okay, I'm gonna hear that show, baby. I go, well, aren't you coming in the studio? She goes, I'm not coming.
Yeah,
I'm
with Laverne.
Studio.
I'm with you, Laverne. I'm leaving.
Hey, Brian. As soon as you bring up the thing with talk about what you're going to talk about with Mike, there's a story that is going around about Mike Pence, about how he says the ban on U.S. embassies flying rainbow flags for Pride Month is the right decision.
Yeah.
Well, Mike Pence, you already know about Mike Pence. He's the most homophobic person. And he doesn't even try to hide it. You can go on Mike Pence, what he said about the gay and LGBT. He's an enemy, basically. He's homophobic. He's very religious in that kind of religious right, condemning homosexuality. Oh, yeah. And we'll take care of him next week because I know Mike is loaded with that information because we'll hit Mike Pence.
No, yeah, that'd be fun.
Okay, I want to do – oh, yeah, it would be because this guy's been flying under the radar way too long. All right, here we go.
In a
Trump
lot of
says,
ways. In a lot of ways.
You think so, huh?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm with you, Mike. With you, Mike. I can't wait for next Tuesday. All right.
Trump
says there's more in Mexico deal, but doesn't say what. Here we go. We're going to still stay with Mexico, but bear with me.
Okay.
Here's what Trump says. There's more to the U.S.-Mexican tariff agreement than meets the eye. This is what Trump says.
Right.
Trump says, importantly, some things, and didn't even say it, not mentioned in yesterday's press release, one in particular we agreed upon. There will be announced, that will be announced at the appropriate time, the president wrote in a stirring string of Twitter posts. All right, I'm not going to read everything, but basically he was teasing it and saying there's more that you don't know.
Yeah.
You have no idea
yeah.
what's going on. Don't believe the fake news, blah, blah, blah. And then they pressured him and said, well, what is it? They go, well, the details are ironed out, and we'll discuss it later. That's his answer. All right. Now, hang in there. So here's the thing.
All right.
So we set that up, and I want you to listen to this. So Trump is lashing out now. He got caught, and Trump hates getting caught, man. There's going
to
be hell to pay when he gets caught.
Hell to pay.
And let me see. Trump, here it is. Do I still have it? It was number one. Oh, I don't. Oh, here it is. So here it is. Here's the headline. He needs more victories. Trump lashes out over Mexican deal. Let me see if I get that. Let me see. Now he got caught. Everybody caught him. He looks like an asshole. Trump hates looking like an asshole. So now he lashes out at people here. And mind you, the Mexican president says, no. That's coming from the Mexican president. That's not coming from the White House. It's not coming from a consulate. It's coming from the president himself. No, we're not going to look like an asshole. I'm not going to concede. See, Trump is an idiot. The Mexican president also has to keep face. And it looks like the Mexican president sold out the Mexican people. Trump only thinks about himself and not thinking about how the president, who is an elected official, looks with Trump tweeting like this. So It says here, Trump needs some victories. Trump lashes out over his Mexican deal. As Trump presidency reaches a 2.5 mark, he is more aggravated than ever. Telling advisors, he was telling his advisors that he believes he'll never get fair treatment. When he doesn't get his way, he acts like a baby. I'm not going to get fair treatment. At 8:31 p.m. on Friday night, a trumpet president, Donald Trump, declared that the latest crisis of his own making will be averted, promising to hold off on stiff tariffs because Mexico agreed to greatly reduce or eliminate illegal immigration. By Monday, the president's victory lap had screeched to a halt as news outlets began chipping away at the agreement, pointing out that it wasn't the game changer that Trump made it out to be.
No.
The president, like Mike was saying, with our own Mike here in the studio, saying that this whatever agreement that was reached about 6 months ago, but Trump wanted to make like he did something. It says, insisting that he's not getting the credit he deserves. So Trump's upset, saying, I'm a victim. It says here, the president started lashing out, painting himself as a victim, and insisting that he's not getting the credit he deserves. In a span of 3 days, he fired off more than a dozen angry Twitter messages complaining about the media coverage. He promised there was more to deal with than meets the eye, teasing a very important part of an agreement that will be revealed the next not too far in the distant future. That's the same comment like, hey, everybody, the Republicans have a health care plan, but we're not going to tell you about it until after the election. Remember that?
Exactly.
This is American citizens.
I was thinking of that.
Yeah.
I was thinking, as you were talking, I was thinking of the health care plan because he's been talking about his health care plan since 2015 when he announced he was running for president. And mostly he says it's a beautiful thing. We're now we're now 4 years down the road. We're now in 2019. I think we're 4 years from when he announced he was running for president. No one knows what his health care plan is. It's crazy.
Exactly.
This is crazy stuff. It's crazy. Crazy.
Even the Republicans came out. Even McConnell said, what plan?
Yeah.
That's what he said.
What plan?
I have
no idea what
he's talking about.
No.
Exactly.
And you know what? Not to go off down that path, but I wasn't a fan of Obamacare when it was coming down the pike at all. I was really critical of it. And I think a lot of things that were wrong with it proved to be bad aspects of it. But now we've had it for, almost 10 years, something like that. And at least most of it for 10 years. And once something gets ingrained in the system, you can't just, let's wipe it away and have nothing. You can't do that.
Right.
That's harmful to millions of Americans. And right now, that's where we're at. We have a president who's lying about having a health care plan, who wants to do away with, while far from perfect, something that's now been there for 10 years. Because even when Republicans controlled Congress, they didn't do anything about it. Not really. So you ask about the dangers of this continual lying and lying about things being accomplished. Like you just said, health care is another prime example. I mean, this president now, all politicians lie. And you also talked about this too. I mean, I really thought the lying started to accelerate when George W. Bush was president regarding like Iraq and things like that. I think they were definitely lying. And I kept thinking about George Orwell, 1994, Orwellian politics. And then I think it actually got a bit worse under Obama because I remember a day when Obama, about this time in 2009. It was right before the census was going to start. And Obama went before the American people with Joe Biden standing next to him. I can still remember this. This was the first time I thought, oh, wow, we have a problem. Because he stood in front of the American people and he said, we created 290,000 jobs last month. It's tremendous. And I thought, but he was really vague about it. And then I went and looked at it, and this huge percentage of those jobs were part-time temporary census jobs. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's just like pulling a big one over the American people. And so Obama kind of accelerated the whole Orwellian lying to the American people. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't disrespect Obama or WS people, but I think their administration's fiddled with the facts a lot. And now with Trump, it is just constant lying and followers of his that don't care. They don't care.
Exactly. If Trump said one time, if he was in the middle of Fifth Avenue or whatever, and he shot someone,
They wouldn't care.
I still believe in my heart 25% of his base will probably convict the bullet and make Trump innocent. Trump didn't kill anybody. It was the bullet. It was the gun. It would convict not Trump.
Yeah.
I really believe that.
I believe you 100%. You're totally right.
Right.
You're being generous,
was,
though. You're only saying 25% of Trump supporters. I think it's more.
Probably. It was the gun that did it. It wasn't Donald.
It was the gun that did it.
Take
yeah,
better
it
gun,
gun
control.
But yeah,
we're
going to
move
I
on
think that's
here.
Absolutely right.
We're going to move on. And Pelosi, what the hell is going on with her? Here's Pelosi. Pelosi made a statement June 11, 2019. Oh, that's today. Here's her statement.
You're giving a lot
Speaker,
of new stuff today, and I haven't heard anything today. So go ahead.
You know, it's just new headlines, same old shit.
We only have 2 minutes. I already got the announcement about the
next show. Thank you, baby. It's new headlines, just the same old shit. Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Tuesday said that she doesn't want to spend much time discussing criticism of President Trump made about her while she was overseas last week, saying that doing so will give Trump a win. I think Pelosi is playing a poker game, and she's losing. I think she should get out of there, kick her ass out the White House. Okay, here you go. Here's what Pelosi says. I'm done with him. Really? Yeah, that's because you got some. You took some hits that you shouldn't have, Pelosi. I'm done with him, she said in an event of a fiscal policy hosted by Peter G. Peterson Foundation. And this is what she says. I don't even want to talk about it. Just like a woman, Mike.
How dare.
A man will make a statement. You ever have an argument with a woman and she loses and I don't want to talk about it. The first thing out of her mouth, I don't want to talk about it. You lost. You know what? I'm done with you. That is her answer. I would like a man to do that once in a while. It's like, you know, you have a good argument and then he goes, I don't want to talk about it. But honey, but it is. I'm done with you. And,
you don't think male Trump supporters are saying that all the time? They're doing that all the time. They're saying, I don't want to talk about it.
I think they do.
I don't want to hear you.
I don't want to talk about it.
They do
let's
that all the
on.
Time. Male Trump supporters do that all the time.
Let's switch it to Obama. Remember when Obama did it? So anyway, this is what Pelosi says. I'm done with you. During a Fox News interview last week while in Normandy, France, to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the D-Day, Trump called Pelosi a nasty, vindictive, horrible person and a disgrace. Pelosi, who was also in Normandy last week, said that when she was on congressional delegation trip overseas, she doesn't criticize the president. Trump, however, took a different tack, Pelosi said. The speaker called Trump the divider of attention in chief, who wants to distract from his own behavior on issues such as trade. Okay, we can go on and on what he said. Now, I'm saying this. Nancy Pelosi called me a disaster? Okay, she's a disaster. Let her do what she wants. You know what? I think they're in big trouble. That's what Trump said. Nancy Pelosi, I call her Nervous Nancy. Nancy Pelosi doesn't talk about it, Trump said, referring to Special Counsel Mueller comments. All right. Nancy has damaged herself beyond, in my opinion, beyond belief. Her political game has backfired in her face, gave Trump the upper hand, and now her only comeback is, I don't want to talk about it, and I'm not going to even talk about this man anymore. Trump won. What do you say, Mike, about Nancy Pelosi and her credibility
Nancy
now?
Pelosi. You know, I've never been a huge Nancy Pelosi fan. I know a lot of people see her as a strong leader. I think she's very good at controlling the House of Representatives. I do think she's good at that. I've never really seen her as far as being a national leader. I've never really seen her as being that strong. That's my personal impression of her. Like an example, I think Obama was a strong leader. I think Kamala Harris is a strong leader. Going to identify people of both sexes who have strong presentation. You know, my thinking, and I know we've talked about this, when I think the House just needs to start the formal impeachment process. there's mechanisms in the Judiciary Committee that are in place to do that. Just do it. If she takes that step, she really satisfies everybody. She satisfies the part of her caucus that wants to move quickly with impeachment, and she satisfies those people who are worried about their reelection. And that's what it boils down to. She's trying to balance politics versus her constitutional responsibility. And in the end, her constitutional responsibility should win out. I agree with you. She needs to just pull the trigger, start the informal impeachment inquiry process. Do I think she needs to be thrown out of office? I don't know. I mean, that's the problem. The members of the House, that's the Democrats' call. They need to decide what they want to do with her. And I think overall, you know, out of the 200 and I don't know how many, 240 some Democrats, whatever it is, Democrats in the House of Representatives, I'm guessing 230 support her. I don't think there's many that want her out of office. I think there's a lot that are frustrated with her not taking a definitive stand and just dealing with the impeachment issue head on. So I hope that answers your question. I don't know. So.
That does answer the question, and I don't really want to jump on it. But I think you like this fast route. I think you find with no interruption and everything, I can actually hear
no
you.
No. No one called me a name all day. What in the world's going on? No, this is kind of how I envisioned it working. I envisioned it kind of working like this. Months ago, this is how I thought it would.
Months ago. But is it?
So I guess we have to have a ghost on the show. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's true. Abigail, is it true? I mean, but is it fair that Trump calls her Nervous Nancy? You know why he calls her Nervous Nancy?
That's
maybe
not
she's older.
No,
and
she has that kind of cognitive thing going. Yeah. No, and you know what? And the thing about Nancy Pelosi, I will say this, I've only met her one time in person. She was actually in Colorado, and I was at some sort of health clinic in Colorado, and I was part of a delegation or whatever who met her at this health clinic as part of her visit to Colorado. She, in person, she is dynamic, charming, has a powerful presence. She's all those things in person. I watch her sometimes on television, and I see what you're saying. And she's not the most polished speaker in the world. I say that, but a lot of people will say I'm wrong when I say that. I don't think she's very polished as a speaker. I don't think she is quick on her feet sometimes when she's answering questions from the press. She does have some tics and glitches when she speaks. And that's just – I do too. I say, you know. I say that oftentimes. We all have tics and stuff like that. But hers kind of – Donald Trump is picking up on those ticks and taking advantage of them and calling her Nervous Nancy, whatever. I mean, like you said, she's a 70-some-year-old person, and by the time you're in your 70s, your speech patterns are the way they are, and they're not going to change.
Right. Well, that's our show for today, but I'm just going to do an extra question. My opinion, dig the grave, bury Nancy Pelosi, give a flower to her, and say goodbye. Listen, Nancy, your time is over. Time for you to go. Get out of here. Your politics, the problem with Nancy Pelosi, in my opinion, is she's been in politics way too long. You can't change your stripes. So whatever political tricks she was using in the Bush administration or in the Reagan administration or what, I think she came in the Reagan administration, if I believe.
Whatever politics
you're using.
Forever.
Right. This is, it's like the old people trying to use the internet. The world has changed now. Your policy and your thinking and your political thinking and your political strategy does not work in 2019. We have too many progressives. We have too many different sects that are part of the Democratic Party, just like the Republican Party when they brought in the Tea Party and they brought in the Christian right. There's just too many sects, and her politics needs to be retired as she does. Goodbye, Nancy Pelosi. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. You're over.
Oh, my God.
You're done. Mike Romo.
You said you were asking a question. I don't find any question in that.
I know.
Anyway, it's the –
Yeah, here's the question.
Okay.
Here's the question. Hey, you like the show?
Yeah. Yeah, the show was nice. This is an easy show today.
I didn't need to.
I didn't need to run off in the middle of the show and have cardiac treatments.
Mike, you are fantastic.
You guys have a good morning. I'll listen to the segment with the ghost.
Okay, Mike. Okay.
All right. Have a good
Mike,
week.
We love
Bye.
You and
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Next segment,
sure.
Mike
have
will be
week.
Talking about Pence. We're going after Pence next
yeah,
Tuesday.
Yeah, let's do that. I'll prepare. I'll come armed for Pence. All right.
You got it.
Bye.
All right. Have a good day,
Bye-bye.
Mike. All right. Up
you
next
too,
in 2 minutes. Bye, kiddo. Up next in 2 minutes, the ghost of Abigail. Is she going to come into the studio this time? I don't know. Susan Lynn Solomon, Abigail's Window, up next. The show is going to end, but it's going to be a new show to start. It's going to be one hell of a show. Ellen, send me out. You got 30 seconds.
Yep. Be sure and join us. Coming up in next 1.5 minutes, Abigail's Window. Will Abigail join us in the studio again? You don't know unless she joins
so.
Us.
Let me tell you about that,
yep.
that bitch. I have a thing with that Abigail.
Be nice,
I need Susan's help.
Brian.
I think with Susan's help, we can get rid of Abigail. She's a vindictive, vengeful bitch. And I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I know she's here. That's right, Abigail. I told you what I'm going to do to Abigail. I'm going to get the vacuum cleaner, suck her out, and put her out in the garbage.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of vacuum cleaners, Brian, I never got a chance. There's a story. Okay, and this goes into this.
Wait, you have to tell me the next show because if we don't do it,
okay.
You got 5 seconds. Go. 5 seconds.
Okay. No, these two women ended up in the hospital because they were trying to get rid of their periods using a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, my God. All right, well, leave me on that note. Our next show starts in 1 minute. Thank you, Ellen. And you've been listening
You're
to Howard. You've been listening to Brian the Hammer Jackson Show, along with the great Ellen Johnson. We'll be back on in about 30 seconds. Hope you join us. Are you down with MVP?
I'm down with MVP. You know me, homie.
All the ladies are down with MVP. Goodbye. See you in 20 seconds.
Bye.
Thank you, Ellen.
You're welcome.